I don't know, he's doing something.
It's magic.
I'm not tech savvy at all.
Me either. That's why I'm like, I'm just like, well, I'm sitting here.
Me too.
I'm too nervous. I'm holding my breath.
Bringing up the theme music. There we go. Nice. All right, dog, where are you going? All right, everybody. Welcome to the bunker. We have a special episode tonight. It's not Levi. It's we have with us two out of the three Appalachian witches. Ashley Connor and Pat O'Keefe are descendants of the mystics of the mountains, Appalachian granny women, also known as granny witches. Each is a talented psychic medium, Reiki master, natural healer. This popular witchy trio, including Misty, who is not here. I lost my place. Three witchy trio are authors. Their latest books are Three Appalachian Witches, Moon Magic, Mirror Magic, and The Witch's Ladder, Appalachian Granny Witch Magic, and Appalachian Conjuring. They also host a bi-monthly podcast, Appalachian Cauldron, answering questions passed by their audience. These busy conjurers were featured in documentary Season of the Witch, which is fantastic, which can be found on many streaming services. Yeah, it's great. Pat, Ashley, and Misty are currently working on their own documentary about Appalachian granny women titled There's Magic in Them Mountains. The film is set to premiere in the fall of 2025. These three Appalachian witches, although we have two of the three, have traveled the country conducting seances, guided readings, energy healing sessions, classes, workshops on a plethora of spiritual and paranormal topics. So welcome, Ashley and Pat, to the bunker.
Thank you for having us.
Welcome.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for so long, and we've been talking about it for years, and just the scheduling just didn't work out, and things, life happens and stuff like that. But we're super excited to have you ladies here. We just rewatched Season of the Witch earlier today, just so we can brush up on it, because we had seen it when it first was released.
I watched it three times.
Yeah, and it's super excellent. One of the points that you touched on early on in the documentary, which was cool, was where you were talking about like Egypt, Samaria, and the understanding of technology and magic and science and medicine sort of being all the same thing at that point. And it had since then it's become split, and now there's all these different disciplines that used to be all the same thing. And I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a great sort of place to start the podcast. I'd love to get your takes on that.
Well, at a certain point in human development, at the very beginning, men would look up into the sky and he would try to explain his environment by using the energy that was attached to things such as sky, earth, death, life, and they would equate a specific god or goddess energy to that specific energy. And so at one point, of course, magic, even stage magic, would have been looked at as extremely powerful. And in fact, I'm sure that some leaders within religious sects would use magic, what we would know as stage magic, in order to create, if you will, a power structure, so that they could keep power, they could awe and shock the people around them. And we just progressed to the point where now we have technology, and we look at technology as something fundamentally mechanical, if you will. But if that would have existed during that time, then it would have simply been looked at as magic. But yes, there's rather a triangulation of that. I hope I explained that.
Interesting. Yeah.
We were going to say that.
No, I just said that was interesting. Yeah.
I thought you were going somewhere. Sorry.
The magic. Sorry.
Go ahead, Ash.
Go ahead, Ash. Yeah, sorry.
You're good. The magic on all of it, I think, is if you think back, like Pat was saying, back in the old days, like stupid little things. If I went back in that time and I was like, okay, I'm going to tell you there's going to be a magic small box that you're going to be able to ask any question and you are going to be able to get the answer within seconds. It doesn't matter what question you have. Back then, that would be like, holy crap, that's magic. That's witchcraft. She's foretelling these things. I think technology and medications and things like that, or any medical field, we take for granted the magic that's always around us. If you think about it, back in the old days, the granny women would take actual herbs, mix them up, which would kind of be any medical like medicines you have now. It was just in a manner that was more, you would say, rudimentary. So now medical, like as in there were certain herbs that they would buy from us in the Appalachian that they would go into big pharmaceutical companies. Gosh, what was it? There's a certain one, ginseng, like that was a big thing. But we take away the magic that's actually around us because we are so drawn down in this is technology, this is medicine, this is wonders and things like that. But I think that's the beauty behind a witch too. They believe that they can manifest things and really put their heart and soul into gaining that. And of course that goes into, well, you're just manifesting. I think it was the Da Vinci Code, I want to say. Don't quote me on that. But that they sit and they looked at a dollar and they were like, every day, and they're like, I'm going to make a million dollars. And eventually they became a millionaire. If you put something out so much in the atmosphere, you're going to attract it because that's where your mind's going to go. Being a witch, you're automatically thinking, okay, that's manifesting. I'm going to be doing like a different like moments with myself. I'm going to be putting different herbs, candle work, all this stuff to get what you want. And that's, you're bringing it into your life. And witchcraft to me, it kind of, you take control of your own life rather than just being like, I hope it gets there. You're putting it in the, out in the atmosphere. As well as, like I said, you just take for granted, such as jewelry. Like someone that's not connected to spirituality or witchcraft, you go out there and you're like, oh, well, I like this stone. Say it's a garnet or anything like that. Garnet means different things to different people, but it can also mean that back in the day it was for blood flow, I want to say, and also like strength, and there's love behind that. So that very well can be like a weird stone divination. Like, as in, you're like, I'm just craving this stone right now in a like jewelry set. But we've taken the magic out of society so many times that you don't recognize you already have these tendencies.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it made me think of, you know, intention and how you can take, you know, any item. It could be anything from a cross to a stone, a crystal, any kind of item of clothing. If it's something that you put intention into, like this is a, oh, I'm going to use this to do X, Y, Z. Right. Well, there's Levi. Hi, buddy.
Sorry.
Hey, Levi.
And you put a certain intention into it. It's that becomes a talisman that imbues that thing with power for you. And it's something that I think science has a hard time with because it's not something that they can, like, you can't charge a stone with Reiki and then put it in a laboratory and they're going to go, oh, it's got 87 Reiki units in it or whatever. Like, it's not this measurable thing. And I think it's in a way, okay, magic is kind of subjective in a way. Like, it works when it works for who it works for. And it's not like there's nobody going outside and like blotting out the sun with magic or doing anything crazy like that. Doesn't work like that. I think it's like a, what am I trying to say with intention? It's like a,
well, it's on your intention and those things, those crystals, those oils and other, you know, yeah, stuff that you may wear, crosses or whatever. It doesn't work unless you believe in it. So it's kind of like that, your intention.
Yeah.
And when we set intentions to what we're doing, because what we do is practical magic, and practical magic is very successful because when we're manifesting, we're keeping the thought at the forefront of our mind. And so everything that we're doing when we get up in the morning, if we want that raise at work, we keep that in mind. And so our performance, we're going to focus more on our performance. We're going to do what we need to do, get the right skill set, whatever we need to do in order to make that manifestation a reality.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, and going back to the medicine and the magic and the whole separation of that, it's something I realized today when I was rewatching your film is basically like folk magic, if you want to call it that, herbal healing, witchcraft, all those sort of things were still sort of, I mean, they were fractured, but really until like the sort of Rockefeller healthcare system came about, that's really what sort of splintered off actual healing from, you know, from what the establishment, if you want to call it that, you know, basically said, okay, from moving forward, this is medicine, this is quackery, you know, and it sort of just fractured everything. And that's a relatively recent thing. I mean, that's, you know, 20th century kind of thing. Until very recently was all sort of the same thing. And it's crazy how, and it's ironic how herbal medicine was used by, you know, big pharmaceutical companies. They would take the herbs and stuff like that, that witches, if you want to call them witch, or herbal healers, whatever, would use directly. And now they're being put into pills or being put into, you know, this, you know, establishment accepted versions of
add chemicals
and added chemicals and, you know, all kinds of byproducts and whatever to make it, you know, able to be mass produced, you know, whereas like a healer in a village would have come to the, you know, someone sick in the village would come to the healer and it would be, you know, oh, I have this and this and this symptoms. And they would know which plants to use and they would just use it directly and mix that tincture or that potion, that tea, whatever it was for that person. They would take it and they would get better. It's just kind of weird how that was like just separated, but yet still the essences of those plants are still being used in medicines everywhere. It's wild.
There's an actual story, and I forget the doctor's name now, but he noticed that there was an herbalist, or they would have called her a wise woman in his village, and she would come, and I can't remember the herb that she was using, but he noticed that she was having really good results, and the patients were all, you know, suffering with congestive heart failure, and so he noticed this, and he started recording it, and then he asked her, "What do you use?" And so the sweet little herbalist woman is now lost in the annals of history, but his name is written down. And I will tell you that when we talk about, you know, when we talk about witchcraft or, you know, or healing, natural healing, often people give so much more credits to like something that falls under medicine. And yet, if you look at medicine, it itself, you know, at one point was quackery because, of course, the reason I mention that is they pride themselves so much on this whole idea of science, of you know, an analysis of data that it has nothing to do with your feelings. And, you know, going back to midwifery, I mean, back in the day when midwives were the only people that would come and help a woman give birth, and she could, and they were women, of course, women helping women. And so they would birth these children. Well, all of a sudden, we had this passing, and I don't mean to make this a female versus male thing, but when the transition was happening, it certainly was. And so men began to do this, and when, you know, to deliver babies. And the rate of death among women, you know, for both themselves and their children just skyrocketed. And part of the reason was, like, some of the people who were kind of going into this business, so to speak, were butchers, the town butcher. And so he would actually use the same tools, the same, you know, dirty tools that he used in his business on these women. And so there was this huge uptick in sepsis and what they used to call childbirth death among women. So, you know, every practice, whether it's science or magic, begins somewhere, and you have to learn from your mistakes. And, you know, science has done it, and herbalists, you know, midwives, witches have done it.
And it's not only just the witchcraft and the granny women culture and things like that. If you look through medicine, sadly, and like a lot of minorities and things like that have been overlooked to their contributions to any magic or any discoveries in that. I even think that there was, like I said, don't quote me. I work in a factory, guys. I took history a few times in college, but you know, but I love the weird, odd facts, but they would actually inject different diseases to study it to see how it would work. So you never get the behind the scenes that a lot of the different medical histories have a pretty rough history that a lot of people didn't get credit how they deserve to get credit. So it's not just the witches, but you know, just saying. What were you saying, Beth? Because I think you're on mute. I think you are.
Maybe if I do this.
I hear you.
We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Got you now.
I don't know. I'm just sitting here. He's got all the controls.
There we go. Oh, that was weird.
Oh, yeah. So I worked OBGYN for 20 years. And I know that story that you were saying how, you know, a lot of women, you know, they would die during childbirth and children, you know, because they didn't even have gloves back then. So they wouldn't, you know, they would get, you know, infected and diseased and then they would die that way.
They got all in there with everything.
Yeah.
Just imagine seeing that now. If you just have somebody like, let me wipe this off for a minute, and then they go right through it.
Yeah, let me shower off. Your amniotic fluid went everywhere. Let me get right back to you.
And yeah. Then they would go home, and like they would be like, it was a rough day, and you just see things on their hands, because you know they probably didn't wash their hands a whole lot. I mean, oh, God.
Well, King Henry VIII said that he washed his hands three times in his lifetime. Let that sink in. Well, they saw that they thought that bathing actually caused you to die or have diseases. Oh. And the cleanest people during that time were your little peasant people.
God.
Yes, that's true.
Wow.
When did that flip? Because you remember like in the Western times, they had to pay like a quarter to bathe or something like that. I don't know the number. Right. But like when did it flip? They're really like, crazy. Poor people are washing so much, you know? I don't know. Like, well, the history of bathing, I want to learn this now. When did it become a popular thing? To some, it's still not popular, so you know.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
That's
to each his own.
I know.
Oh my God.
But what I did learn how zoos become about, and this is ridiculous. I read idiotic facts. I don't know if it's because I'm excited one day when I get drunk, I'm not drunk. I get to put out this useless knowledge to somebody. But zoos were actually from a lot of rich people would have these zoos, right? So then whenever they would just give up on these animals, the peasants thought, well, wait a minute, this would be a good idea to, hey, charge somebody to like look at these animals, right? So that's where the zoo came in. Not to mention, you can also pay extra to feed your animals to the lions. Back in the day, I'm telling you, I can't remember the quote because I'm telling you, I put all this useless knowledge in there. But look up the history of zoos. And that was like an exciting thing to feed your animal to the, you know, the zoos.
Wow.
But And I will mention something about the zoos back in the day, since you mentioned it. During the French Revolution, they said there wasn't one rat left in the sewers of Paris because they were eating everything. It's like pets, dogs, animals that they could find that. What we would call exotic animals. I mean, yeah, interesting.
Talking about pests, I will let you guys know, this past weekend, I went to Jungle Gyms, right? There's everything in there. If you want to buy it, I'm pretty sure it's there. So I go to Jungle Gyms at Ohio, and like, I always like trying reasonable, now mind you guys, reasonable, because there's some things I'm not going to eat, like random odd food, right? So my friends were like, hey, look, there's this, like this section that has like chocolate covered crickets on it. And I'm like, I eat a chocolate covered cricket or whatever. And like silkworms. And then there was a cricket, protein bar, right? So I was like, okay, yeah, I want to try that. Now, mind you, I'm thinking, like, I'm gonna tell you how much I paid for these crickets. It was like $8.99 for these chocolate covered crickets, right? So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm thinking I'm gonna get me like a Walmart plastic container full of crickets for $8.99. Surely. But no, it was a lovely little satchel, a little bag. And then not only did they potato chip screw me out of those crickets, they put a bag inside of the bag. And I only got like 5 crickets. So I said to my friend at work, I said, surely chocolate is not that expensive. And surely they could have found some more crickets. I'm just saying. Like, how did crickets get so expensive?
Did you eat the crickets?
Oh, yeah. They were not bad. The cricket protein lemon flavored bar was not good, and that was cheaper. So apparently I'm paying for flavor. And all honestly, they were pretty good. I mean, I'd eat them again. Like, yeah. But not $8.99. I'm telling you, like, I've seen a crap load of crickets. I'm running on a gold mine right now. If I could just catch one, put some chocolate on it. But it
could be free.
I'm telling you, I'm like, come on now. Like, I think it was I'm not sure which culture it was. And I'm like, surely they have a lot more bugs over there they could put some chocolate on for cheaper. But it was really nice. It was like a little fluffy like type thing, kind of like Rice Krispies a little bit. That consists with chocolate on it. Yeah.
Not bad.
It was delightful. Yeah. Wasn't as bad as I thought. It wasn't like any moisture or anything. So it was crunchy. It was worth it. Yeah.
There you go.
I love it.
Yeah.
Ashley's always the lighter one. She's got timing, comedic timing like nobody's business. We love her. And I'm the darker one, you know. So I'm going to take you somewhere dark on this. Since you already mentioned the crickets, you know, we're about to get hit with trillions of cicadas this year.
Yes.
Now I will tell you all, now back in the day, our grannies and our, you know, our grandpas, they would watch for signs and omens. I mean, it talks about it, you know, in the Holy Book, as they say. And and if you look at the signs and omens that we're seeing right now, this is the first time these things are going to rise out of the ground in this kind of number, according to what I'm reading, in the last 200 years. Then we have the Devil Comet that is going to be actually visible at the same time that we have a total lunar eclipse. So, you know, in magic, we have a saying, and it's as above, as below. So you look for signs in heaven to see what's going to manifest in the earth. And it's really interesting because that is, even if you're a Christian, there are signs in heaven that you look for, such as, you know, when the 7 seals open or the seals are open and, you know, the God's trumpet is sounded and they start looking around for, you know, messages, omens, signs that will tell them that they are approaching the end times, or at least the time of, you know, the book of Revelation, lays out. So it's an interesting time. It really is.
all I think about that is all over TikTok. I know I'm on the tickety talks. Is number one, should I pay my car payment? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, if I'm gonna have a good time, I could take that money and have an even better good time.
I'm with you, Ashley. I'm with you.
And second off, I gotta buy me a shitload of chocolate because if I could kick some of them bugs, I'm gonna be a millionaire. Okay, and I'll drizzle some chocolate on all them cicadas.
That would be a good business.
I'm telling you, out there, you're gonna see me crazy dripping chocolate.
I can see you running through the fields. So like,
yeah, they'll be on my face, crawling, screaming that scream. I don't know. I've got to roast them or something. I got to look into this business.
Bring your grill and a big pan.
I'll be out there. I'll be having a great time.
I know you would. I know it. That's funny.
I'm like, I'm preparing for the end of times. I've skipped my car payment, but all that money towards fine chocolate.
That's too funny. I believe you though.
I believe in me too. It's gonna happen.
Yes.
Are you guys doing anything special for the eclipse or anything that's coming forward about that?
I was probably gonna sacrifice a couple dogs.
You know they don't have those zoos. I know. She's like, don't you do that?
Don't you do that to our puppy?
I don't know. Maybe hide in the bunker. I don't know.
That's a good plan.
I don't know if you've heard this, but there's like supposedly somewhere where the National Guard is being deployed for the eclipse. And I'm like, what?
Why? It's a state of emergency in New York and in Texas because they fall right under the line of totality. And they're afraid that there's going to be so many people rushing in that their structure, their infrastructure may not be able to support it. And my husband and I are actually going to New York on Wednesday. His sister lives up there and I want to film this for our documentary.
Oh, that'll be so awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Fun.
Nice.
I'm so just out there like Matthew McConaughey, just trying to live, man. L-I-V-I. I'm just trying to make it through.
I hear you.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah. So I guess you can't bust out your tattoo, huh?
Oh, my.
This is kind of what I wanted. Because I wanted to touch on some of the stuff that you ladies talked about in Season of the Witch. She has a tattoo dedicated to the... Ooh. Salem witches. There you go.
Oh, I love that. That's nice. That's very nice.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, I consider myself a witch, not as probably as advanced as you guys, or I don't know if I was a born witch, but that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys. So there's, you know, you mentioned in the movie.
This is the question that got me in trouble. Remember?
I'm sorry.
It's her moment to make up for it.
I was asking because you know there's you said and I just and because you know you guys know what I do well Ashley knows what I do. I'm a medium, so I've been I took a Wiccan class, and you know so the question I was like, so the difference between Wiccan, witchcraft and pagan. And then I also, some people say, oh, well, you have to take all these classes and do all this stuff. You just can't start a coven without you taking all these classes and doing this and that. Mm-hmm. So I know that you guys said you're born witches, and I believe you because I know Ashley very well, and Misty, I know you guys, and I love you, and I totally believe in you and this, and you know, so I was just wondering how you guys feel on that question, you're born with it and you can just develop it and just start practicing it, because that's how I did with my being a psychic medium. That's what I just, you know what I mean? You just do it. Not that you can't learn and take more classes, because I did take classes. I've studied from a lot of people, but I do feel like it is within you, and then you can like read or learn to bring it out. So what do you guys feel about that?
Well, if you don't mind, this is my time to make it right. let me explain. I said that witch, you know, really powerful witches are born. And I do believe that. But that doesn't mean that you start practicing out of the womb. You can be called to this at any time in your life. There's an old saying, you know, once a witch, always a witch. And I do say this, and I hold to this. I say that, and it's true, that you can learn aspects of the craft, but it's like, you know, Venus and Serena Williams were, you know, they from the very beginning were trained to be premier world female tennis champions. And that's exactly what they were. They had an innate ability to do that. And so, you know, it's like playing tennis. Most people can pick up a racket and swing at a ball, but you're still going to have those that simply have an innate ability to manifest reality that may be in some ways, you know, more powerful than someone who doesn't have that innate ability. It doesn't mean that one cannot learn aspects of the craft. And if you're called to it, then I truly believe that you were a witch, you know, from the beginning. You just weren't called to it until later in life.
Okay, understood. Yeah. Hmm.
Mine on adding on to what Pat is. And this
be careful, is, Ashley.
Go to her house and burn it down, not mine. But no, like to add on to Pat first, like it made I'm gonna blame it on the edit. No, I'm gonna play. But anyways, it's Pat, it seemed like Pat was saying either you were born into a coven or you're nothing, right? That it made it seem like that. But that what she was saying is everybody has that little sparkle in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like some might have a brighter light than other ones. And me and Misty were just talking about this before she had to go. It was that now before me and Misty came out of this closet, I'm going to tell you, I was not from the beginning like, I am a witch. I absolutely am. Here's my broom. Here's my hat. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I wasn't. I heavily sit and I always tell the story about Pat and I have a story about Beth too. But that me and Misty were in the paranormal. We noticed coincidences. Our family was German Baptist. And they had little quirks and coincidences. And we believed in superstition, right? So we lived on this little farm and we're in the middle of nowhere. And it's not like we had witches around us or anything like that. And I would do weird little shit like give Pat dirt for no damn reason. I'm like, here you go, Pat. And like Pat started hanging around us and she was like, they're gifted. And she would send her daughter with us and be like, go hang out with them. They're gifted. And we're like, no, we're not. We're just over here, you know, doing this and the other. And Pat was always the one that was always like, hold on, something's different about them. We didn't know it. Like I said, I'm weird talking to goats and like fixing animals. And I'm thinking everybody has these little things, right? So then Pat brought us out of that closet. Now, Pat was always, she was in the witchy atmosphere. Now, I guess I could out Pat right now. When I talk to myself, I get nervous like I'm out Pat or something. But anyway, I think she's out, guys. But so Pat invited us to this circle. And I always tell the story that when we went to the circle, we're like, we're cool, man. We'll show up, whatever, you know. And she was doing a ritual and things like that. And we're sitting there. And I was just excited these men were washing my feet, you know. And I was just like, oh, yeah, whoa, this is nice. And we sat on the, I guess it was a visitor's couch. I'm not sure. But we were sitting on the visitor's couch. And they were all like, you know, they were giving thanks and things like that. And they were like, what are you thankful for? And I think Pat said the Connor sisters. And they all in unison, because they were in the moment, snapped over and looked at me and Misty. And we're like, and I looked at Missy and I was like, you stay on the Jesus train. You hear me? I'm sitting here in a witch's circle on the visitor couch, getting my feet washed. And I'm like, you stay. Because you don't like, there's so many misconceptions with witchcraft that you just think as soon as you are over there on that witch side, you're signing your life away to the worst entity ever. And it's just all this bad stuff. Well, that's not how it is. So me and Misty, we would always do goofy stuff. Like we were like, you know, always had tarot cards and then we'd hide them. We'd get scared that, you know, the devil was after us. So we'd throw them in the trash and I'd get them out when Misty threw it. And it was stupid things like that. So one time we knew something was different because my mom and dad, we live on a farm. We have to drive past my mom and dad's. There's so many different streets to this farm. So we drive past and like, we were like, hey mom, we're going to the Shell Hill and we're going to do some witchcraft. She's like, all right, just don't wake up your daddy. And we're like, why is that normal? You know, so we drive up here and we're doing that. And then we come back down. My mom was always like, she loved witches and stuff like that. Like the, she would always say we were like the two little practical magical ones, practical magic. Oh, that movie. But
love
anyway,
that movie. Yeah. Love that movie.
Best thing ever. God, Misty is so Sandra Bullock and I'm out there a disaster. But so she would always be okay with witches and witchcraft. And coming from the South, that's a big no-no, especially like in the country. So we never really, I always told Misty, maybe we're too trashy to be classy and too classy to be trashy around this joint. Because it's like we never fit in with anybody. And it wasn't until we started writing the book, our dad came forward and said, yeah, that's in our line. And I'm like, why did you not tell me this is in my bloodline this whole time, you know? And it was actually, my grandmother was a wart remover and that it was actually in our lineage. But it wasn't like when we were born, it was some big, like everybody's in cloaks. Everybody's like, it wasn't like that. We grew up a normal life and we were doing weird, quirky shit. Everybody else knew we were weird, but I didn't know. I thought I was normal. And Pat picked us up and she was like, y'all are witches. And Beth, you actually said the same thing to us one time. You looked over and you were like, you know, y'all are witches, right? And we're like, no, we're not. We're still on the Jesus train. It is a really big misconception because when you look at Wiccan, that one is an organized religion. And that one is intimidating because when they are around and they're lovely people and I love them and I have nothing against you. It's just my spirituality is different. They do believe that you're supposed to study for a year and you're supposed to be invited in a coven. The perfect coven is 13 and things like that. They have more regimen and rules. Appalachian witchcraft is about survival. You just learn so many different things because your goal was to keep your person or your animal alive to make it through the next day. It wasn't, let me follow these rules. Let me follow this. It was more free flowing. And the reason why I'm not going to say there's not good books or anything like that, that does have like Appalachian witchcraft, but it was whatever was available is what you used. So maybe one time you would use a jar, maybe another time you would use a cup. Because that was just what was available. Because we're poor as shit. That's it. I wanted to end on the truth. The poor as shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody has the ability to be a witch. It's really, like Pat was saying, it's kind of like your soul is coming home and recognizing this is in your past. Either it's past lives or like your bloodline and things like that. I'm backing you up, Pat, in a long roundabout way.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now that makes more sense to me. I'm like, well, I don't think I need to go to school or class for a year because to do that, you know, I agree with what you guys, how you guys are. And I could be an Appalachian witch, but I live in New Jersey. So maybe I am one, but I live in New Jersey. I can relate to you guys more than the Wiccan way of learning to where, yeah, you have to take 101 and then 102, it's like 2 or 3 years. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm already doing this stuff, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I just love what you're doing. And you guys are so honest and truthful. You wear your heart on your sleeve. And you know, it's just, I totally love you and believe in you and trust you. And I think you're all amazing.
Thank you so much. One person just got in touch with me and Misty, and they were from Australia. And she was like, I saw your documentary. I really resonate with you guys. Misty just read this to me today. And she was like, I know I'm not from Appalachian, but I really resonate with that. And I think it's because we take the culture of country and put it into witchcraft. Because in the country, like, I can't tell you how many times I'm just like, hey, that guy needs help. I got to go help him. Because that's just how you're raised, because sometimes you don't understand the struggle behind that. So I think it's our weird Southern hospitality that translate over into witchcraft. And we pretty much will help anybody if they're nice and that like we feel like they're a good person. I before I came out as an Appalachian witch, would say I was eclectic. because that gave me a broad term to understand what I liked the most and what was my speciality. Because once you go into a certain niche, then you have different expectations. Kind of like, I do like bones and things like that, but when you say you're a bone witch, then it seems like the only thing you use is bones. So you have to know everything about bones. And if you say that you're a herbologist or whichever, like you're into herbs, then it's like everyone expects for you to know what every green piece of herb is. And that's honestly impossible for you to know everything about everything. And I even still learn things new. I know I'm out there learning, guys, but I think that you can learn something from every culture and every like different venue. Like the day you stop learning is the day that you're stupid, to be honest. Like in witchcraft, you can always learn so much stuff, and the internet is the best and worst thing for this. So
yeah, you're always learning and growing. We never master any of this. So yep. Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Yeah, you have taken, I mean, countless classes from.
Because I'm learning like from the UK, from Ireland, like I like just all different mentors. Because you know what, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything, but I just try to learn as much as I can from everybody. That's what I do. You know,
that's the best way to be. You know, because it's like you can relate to everybody. Like that's something that we kind of strive to do, to relate to anybody coming forward. They have any kind of deity or anything that they believe in. I believe there's truth in everything. So that's something that we like to give back, as in we might not know a lot about this culture, but we want them to feel at home and like to be able to, you know, talk to each other on a equal ground, you know? So.
Yeah, you and you guys are, that's what you do, you guys, and that's what you put out. You guys are very comforting to me, you know. Aww. So just saying.
Pat, you hear that? That we're comforting.
Pat, you're comforting.
I hear that.
You're part of it, Pat. Especially after watching your video, your movie, you know. I was like, oh, I can't wait to meet Pat. She's awesome.
I was really happy to meet you too. I mean, the girls are really positive about you guys, so.
Yeah, the feeling's mutual.
Yeah, I met the Connor sisters in like, I'm thinking like 2016, 2015, 2016, somewhere around there. I believe at Pennhurst.
God, I love you, but we got to stop putting up these numbers. They're going to know them all. They're going to know them all. Gosh. I got to start picking this up now and put my wigs on. They're like, shoot.
Yeah, just that you ladies had such an air. You just came like sashaying in and just like took over the whole room. And everybody was like, who the hell are these ladies? It was wild.
I got sashaying.
Yeah, sashaying. Dressed to the T's, you know. But,
oh, yeah.
But you're honest, and you know what you put out. Like you wear your heart on your sleeve, and you're very truthful and honest, and that's what I love about you. Maybe someone don't like that; that's their problem. But I love everything about you guys. I just think you're amazing, and
we love you guys so much.
Can't say enough.
It's always you hold a special place in our heart, and I'm always like, oh yay, Beth! I was so upset I did not get to go to the one party. That one. What? I wasn't there, and you and Misty were, though.
Where was this at?
I think it was in Virginia. Was it in Virginia? I think Steve Dillard was there.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Many.
Paravation.
Okay. Oh, Paravation.
I think
Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't in that one. Yeah, I wasn't that one. I was like, dang it, Beth was there. I wanted to see her. So,
but you live close by, right? You were like an hour away. Misty was saying you guys live close to there.
They're I'm not close. Sure how far.
But do we do?
Yeah, she said you guys were close from there, and well, that's I was like, the one that ran.
Yeah, I was like, well, let's go. Let's take a drive and go see Ashley then.
I have a factory job, and once I'm in that factory, I smell and look terrible.
That's okay.
I like to pretend like nobody recognizes me. I'm like the witchy Hannah Montana or something. Like I'm in the factory, and I'm like, this one time, I crap you not now. All you fellas, you turn off this speaker right now that if you're sick. But one time I was like checking with my coworker, which he's like 2 years away from like retiring. And God, I love that man, but he's probably like, God, please, I can't get here soon enough. I was like, Alan, I think that our machines are messing up because I took away our good luck charm. I haven't shaved my armpits in a good while and I shaved my last night. what you guys got when I don't show up to these conventions.
Oh, that's that's awesome. That's funny. I love that.
That's classy. Yeah.
Like, I always say they're the comedy duo and I'm the straight man.
I don't know. Oh, shoot. Life in general sometimes is funny. I'm like, good gosh, but it's I just love seeing everybody, and it becomes a big family, you know, outside and doing things like that. So yeah, and I always hold a very dear, like, little space in my heart for you guys, and I love you guys. It's been so many years, and I'm like, I never get to be around them enough.
Right, and we feel the same way about you. 100%. I love you guys, and I speak very highly of you guys because you just hold a special place in my heart too, because you're genuine. True friends, I just can't say enough good words about you guys. I just love you guys.
I tell people, I'm like, guys, I am so painfully honest. I could have made it a lot further in life had I not been. and it's a bad
I agree.
The psychological part of that is if you're lying, then you would absolutely lie about telling the truth. But I'm like, I'm really honest, guys. It's bad.
yeah. But no, it's good. It's good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I remember we investigated the Bel Air house with the Connor remember? Sisters and you guys all had those like animal pajamas on.
Oh yeah, remember? Those are delightful. I still have them. I'm looking in the closet right now. I'm like, man, I need to bring those back out. Once it gets cold weather, it's like I had this one friend and I was doing readings and they were like, well, we know the time's up when Ashley puts on her onesies, and I just zip up the onesie, like, because you guys know we all try to dress really nicely and presentable, and then I'll just come out with a onesie or sweatpants, and they're like, I don't understand how you can look like Steven Tyler at one moment and then you're like really glamorous at the next. I'm like, yep, that's right. Yep, I'll show up in a robe and everything, you know, I ain't doing nothing then.
That's okay, just means you're well-rounded, you know, you can dress up but then you can dress down. Oh,
Capito.
His name is Levi. He's a rescue.
Oh, so they're the best dogs. Yeah. Rescue dogs.
He loves it in the studio.
Oh, little ham. My little guy, I had to put him in another room because I'm like, man, and Pat, she got her too.
Okay.
I got
a
bigger one, and then I got a wiener dog that I paid too much for, but good gosh.
You love them.
I do. It's like a little baby, man. Once they get a certain size and you could hold them, that little thing's pampered.
Oh, yeah. He's spoiled. That's why he keeps trying to get on our laps, because he's spoiled. But you love him.
No.
Yeah. You met the Connor sisters much earlier than I did. And
yeah, it was Gettysburg. That's where she said that.
Gettysburg.
Yeah. Gettysburg, right, Ashley? Gettysburg.
Yeah.
We were in the basement together doing readings. Remember?
Yeah, I do. Gosh, it's so hard. Like, people will be like, well, where all have you been? And I'm still convinced I've been to Chicago, even though I know I haven't been. I'm directionally challenged, and I can't count worth crap. I can't. I'm terrible. Like, I'm dyscalculus. Who would have known? Like, who knew? I think you have to be some sort of, like, Misty's dyslexic, so she can't read, like, notes. One time we were writing down spring break, like, because we were in college together. She wrote spring bread. I think it helps if you have some sort of odd little personality, like, quirk like that.
You have to. Yeah. Yeah, and you have to make fun of yourself and just enjoy life and laugh.
Oh, yeah.
So what's next for you guys?
Yeah, I was just going to say, what's this next documentary coming up? Can you tease us with some stuff here? Like, what's this going to be about?
It's all of ours, but the documentary is called There's Magic in the Mountains, and it's about Appalachian granny witches, Appalachian granny women / because they never called themselves that. That's what their neighbor might call them, because they might often have the second sight. Most of them have the ability to heal, and still, so many of them were midwives. I mean, they were the people that people went to be healed in some way. And so my granny was and great granny and great great granny were Appalachian granny women. I know the Connors were too. And so what I'm doing is I'm interviewing the descendants of Appalachian granny women And then what I want to do is talk about the women, you know, how they helped their community. Were they healers? Were they, you know, psychics? And then also, do they have any gifts that were handed down to them from these women? Appalachian Granny women were also known as the mystics of the mountains. So that's the core of what this is about. It's a passion project because so many stories about these women are getting lost in time. So I want to preserve some of those.
Very nice. That sounds awesome.
It like, honestly, when I came forward to be any kind of like witch and things like that, I took the term witch, right? So then, of course, they're like, what kind of witch are you? And I told you I went to the eclectic witch. I didn't know there was a granny woman. I thought you were just supposed to be witch. That's it, period. But back in our day, actually, when I found out that I have the lineage of it, because, I mean, that's not something our family talks about. It was kind of more secretive. Sure. It was, yeah, we went by healers and granny women, because if you came forward to say you're a witch back in that time, they would have tarred and feathered you, and you would have been the outcast of the community. So you couldn't come forth to say that you were a witch. And you'll notice a lot of the Appalachian culture will actually use Bible verses. That's something that we got clocked on before too, as in, if you're a granny witch or Appalachian, why are you not using Bible verses? I do not, because I want to be able, like I said, to give forth to everybody that has this history, like as it not history, but has the interest in witchcraft. And I don't want to push my, I'm religious. I believe in a higher power, but if they have another deity, I don't put like, you know, Bible verses in that. With this documentary with Pat coming forward, it is showing the back root working of this, and it's showing the history and the culture, like she was saying, that sometimes gets lost, because I didn't even know what a granny witch was. I didn't know that was a small term, because I found this side path and realized it was in my culture background. Pat came forward to say, yeah, granny women. I'm like, I am not going to be called granny. That's going to hurt my age. So right there, that was a breakdown. Like, it wasn't till here recently you hear this broad term. So Pat's really going back and showing you the real ones that are from these mountains that still go by this culture.
I love that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like,
Pat is the one that brought us into this, like I said. So she's like, come on, take his little breadcrumbs, come on. And like I said, the granny women and things like that in these Appalachian mountains were overlooked. Because I got to be honest, me and Misty just got internet like 2 years ago, maybe.
Wow.
So we were culturally cut off. I mean, if you saw any of our lives, we were driving to a truck stop.
Yes, yes, you were in the car.
That's right.
I mean, yes. You I haven't seen those in a while.
Because we got the internet. We did not have high-speed internet.
Oh, so wow.
That is a struggle in the mountains as well, that they believe that because of our slowness, and honestly, like, Virginia should have, like, faster internet because, you know, we have so much more government stuff here. And certain people say it's actually an internet hub. We are in between New York and Florida. So a lot of like sex trafficking people get freaked out about here because we're the central point. So you would expect us to have better internet and better things like that. But that is a thing with the Appalachian Americans, as in we're kind of cut off from technology. So we're considered ill-educated. And that is actually a stigmata about Appalachian Americans, that, you know, we're kind of dumb, but we were cut off from society. We're not, it's kind of like asking, how far can a fish climb? That whole concept. We may be smart in other things, but it was very common for our time frame to just stop going to school because you have to take care of children. You have to work the lands. You might as well go get a job in a factory or go get a job to take care of your families. And that is where the granny women as well came forward. They weren't always old. So this documentary, I'm incredibly excited about it because Pat is putting her heart and soul into this, and it's through the eyes of a granny woman.
Me too. I can't wait to watch it. I know it's going to be amazing. So I'm really excited. When do you expect that to come out, Pat?
We're hoping to premiere it in fall of 2025.
Nice.
Sure, we're getting excited. I know, I'm excited about it coming out.
Me too. Like, I can't wait.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, because I mean, Season of the Witch was excellent. I mean,
I watched it three times. The
production value was awesome. The cinematography was great.
Amazing. I love it.
Now that is T. Lee of T. Lee Productions. He was the cinematographer on that particular production, and he's just got such a brilliant eye. I mean, and he is also he's either a recent graduate or he's getting ready to graduate from the LA School of Cinematography or Film, and so he's just a brilliant cinematographer.
Awesome. Yeah, it was made nice, and it was just amazing, and it helps knowing a couple of the people that were in it. But so what do you guys have some advice for some people that are just starting out or that they want to become a witch or want to do witchcraft, or what kind of advice would you have for someone just starting out?
Pat, you go
ahead.
Oh no, I was saying you go ahead. On my screen, okay. Here, I was like,
oh, there you go. Just go with your heart. Let yourself be led. This is a spiritual path. It really is a spiritual path. It's not about magic. It's about finding your center, and your spiritual center. So that's what I would say. Just allow yourself to be led by spirit.
Very nice.
I got three suggestions. First,
all right, Ashley, you go, girl.
first, don't. It's complicated because your raw emotions will make your spiritual or your spells more powerful. But don't ever do any spell work in anger, because that, with anything, even when you're talking to someone, if you're heated and you're mad and you talk to someone, there might be some things that you regret that happens or that you do. So don't go in there raw emotions, like, and not seeing the full picture. Give it a little bit of time for your emotions to kind of calm down out of anger or anything like that, like negative spell work. Because like I said, I might go out and drive a car and someone cuts me off and I'm like, and I'm so mad, and you don't know what's happening in the other person's life in the full picture. You're only seeing this small tidbit. They could be speeding because there was an emergency and things like that. And it's just take a full look at the picture before you put bad intent out for anybody else. So you have that, because there are retribution for any darker things that you do. I believe in protection. As in, if someone seeks out to do you harm, you can put more negativity towards them. I do believe in that. But I don't believe in, oh, she's prettier than me, I hope she fails. I don't believe in spell work like that. I mean, it happens, but I don't want to do that. I have more of a cool, calm, collected. Also, love spells, I suggest putting it more open for the possibility, not necessarily saying, I want Timmy to love me right now. Timmy, da da da. And it's this one specific guy, because the atmosphere might want something better for you. And no matter the feelings you have at that moment, just say, I want the love that's meant to be brought to me. Because you don't ever want to, like, emotionally kidnap someone into loving you. Because that's going to rob you and the person you're supposed to be with. And poor Timmy, he don't want to be with you
anymore. Yeah, you can't take away someone's free will either. So you have to be specific. Absolutely. When you do this work, right?
Absolutely.
When you do spell work, because if you're not specific, when you say, oh, I want to find a job. Okay, you may get a job. If you put that out there, you may get a job at McDonald's. Not that it's bad, but I'm saying, you got to be specific when you're doing power.
Let me mention one thing, though. When it comes to love spells, divine energy knows what you need in your life and the person that you're supposed to be paired with. I actually did a love spell. That's how I got my husband, who is an amazing human being. And I simply asked to bring the person into my life that was supposed to be with me, that was supposed to really complete my energy. And 2 weeks later, there he was. And that's a true story. He's from Arizona. He spent his career in California. And I should not have met him, but he appeared in my life. And to be honest, he was the only person I even dated. I was divorced for 3 years before I even wanted to date, because you should always have your energy grounded before you do any kind of outreach for another energy. Because if you don't, and you see it all the time, if somebody is not grounded themselves, then they get the worst kind of energy, because that's their energy right now. You attract like attracts like. So, you know, with love, just make it open. The divine energy knows what you need and what you know, what you want. Allow the right energy to come to you. Don't try to block it by saying, I want this, I want this, and I want this. In terms of the heart, and I think it's because that's a real part of God energy, of divine energy, is love. You allow that energy to work for, that magic for you, so that you get what you need. It may not be necessarily what you think you want. Like, you know, we discussed you know, having a specific name of a specific person. I mean, so many people do this, especially younger people, and they don't know that person, but divine energy does know that person. You see what I'm saying? There's so much more wisdom there that you can draw on than just your own, you know, infatuation with another human being.
That's great advice. Thank you. Yes. Makes sense.
Absolutely.
What you were saying, Beth, with that, like, as in, when you put out that you want a job, put, like, expectations of what kind of job you want. Just, I mean, you might get a job. You might, you know, but it might not be the one you were saying, like you were saying. Just kind of have, I guess, standards. That's the hard part. That's the hardest part about that, to be honest. You might be out there knowing what you want and try to get that to come to you, and then you're like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. It's like the universe is a drunken frat boy. You're like, I want you to give me the next drink from and Diet Coke, and they come back and give you a little shot glass of Diet Coke. Like you're like, hey, hold on over here, you know. So it that is the complicatedness about magic and things like that. The other point I wanted to make is, make sure you, any spell you do, make sure you do something. Don't just sit here and light a candle and be like, I want to make $1 million. Bam, it's gonna have just like that. What are you doing to make that difference? You got to put in like the effort to put that, and then do spell work, as in it's going to push you where you're supposed to go, as well as use reality over spirituality. And I always give this instant of like, I was at this one event. I'm not sure if other people were at this event as well. At this event, there was a lot of healers there, as in like Reiki people, like self-led healers and things like that. This woman, she had an episode of something, and they automatically thought it was a spiritual attack. To me, meant me being a logical person, I'm like, holy shit, someone needs to call 911 right now. Who's calling 911?
Yeah.
And they were like, no, take your phones away. We're going to do this right now. And I had this person actually do a healing session on this person who was having a seizure. And it, like, at the time, I'm like, why is nobody calling 911? What are you doing? You took my phone. What are you doing? They're like, we're not videoing this. This is what's happening. And this and other. And I'm like, so later on, she realized she had a seizure. And I was like, are you serious? Something really bad. So have logicality and reality over spirituality, okay?
Yes.
If there is medical attention needed, do not to assist in the magic and any healing or things like that, is to assist. Always go to a medical professional and always take your precautions to make sure they're safe regardless. I'm not saying that no one is strong enough to like help people or anything like that. It's just that, like I said, spirituality needs to be second line of defense. Make sure you have reality and professionals as that. So
yes, we're not doctors, you know. We're just like you said, we assist in the healing.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I might take a look at your foot cut off, but I'm not going to be able to put it back on. Okay.
So, yeah, that's
exactly
a good point.
Yeah,
it's a good point. Reiki isn't going to reattach the foot necessarily. Absolutely. But there it was, may assist in that person recovering. It might help recovery take place quicker, but the foot still needs to get put back on. You still need to stop the bleeding, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that I've actually read books about Reiki. I think everybody's Reiki, right?
Yeah. I'm Reiki. Mike's Reiki. I'm Reiki. Yeah.
I thought that. Okay. So I've read some books and I never thought of this, but they had the topic of, can Reiki help with cancer? And can Reiki, what are you supposed to do if your person is pregnant? What would happen with the Reiki of the child? And I was like, I never even considered those aspects. With the cancer thing, they said, obviously you get help and things like that. But also it's the mindset of giving that positivity. And it was when you're a Reiki master and you're helping someone, the feeling of, if it's something that, how do I say this? They come to you for assistance and the divine expects them to go a different direction as what you want them to be, if that makes sense. So it was more of, you're helping them during their time and you're easing them, like as in healing what you can, but you have to accept the outcome of the real, you know, what's going on, as well as the pregnant type thing. People were worried about how Reiki would affect pregnant people. And the cool part about that is it was that, you know, you asked if it's okay that you heal the one person and if you can heal their child, but it was more of a positive outcome as in you're also healing the child, which makes sense. But I don't know why I never thought of why someone would ask that question, I guess, you know?
Yeah, it is an interesting question. Yeah. And that's why I think, like, it helps. Like, I was in the medical field for 20 years in OBGYN I work. So I think that helps when someone comes in and they, sometimes you're a psychiatrist when you do these readings or a therapist. So it's like, okay, you really need to get other, you know, help, other guidance, because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a therapist. You know, you just aid in the healing, because I believe, and I'm sure you guys do too, you know, you treat the mind, body, soul, and the spirit, but that's what hell. You know, you should treat everything for everything to heal, you know? So sometimes it comes down to a fine line, you know?
Yep.
I have people that, you know, were suicidal, and you know what? I you're not the person for that. They need to get further assistance, you know? And so it is a fine line. You got to watch what you say, you know? Like, I don't like to do necessarily, you know, relationships, or like, you know, people are asking, well, is my pregnancy going to survive? I mean, listen, You may say something, but do you really know that? That's like, it's a fine line, and I don't like to necessarily answer those questions when I do healing or readings.
Absolutely.
I will tell you, there's a couple of places where, you know, if you've got any legal friends, they'll tell you not to give advice. And one is actually children. And the other one is anything dealing with finances, and both of those make sense. So anyway, just that. But I will tell you, one time, even though I know this rule, I was at a public reading, a gallery reading, and this woman stood up, and she had a young woman next to her, and the young woman was kind of crying a little bit, and the mother said, she was her mother, and said that the doctors had told her that she will never have another child. Will she have one? Well, Pat not being channeled is not going to answer that, because that can get you sued. It can. But all of a sudden, I heard it when everybody else heard it. I said, she will have another child. The child will be a chubby baby with dark hair. And I was actually visiting my husband's people back in Arizona, got off the plane, and she sent me a photograph of a little baby in its mother's arms. And she said, this is that chubby little baby with the dark hair. So if I'm channeled, or if I receive a message, I know that that's 100%, and I will deliver the message. But if I'm trying to pull energy, and you know what I mean by that, I'm pulling energy, and I'm getting a feeling, then a feeling's not enough. It's just not enough. I won't. Another example, I had a beautiful woman, and she had went to another reader, and she's a hairdresser, just gorgeous woman. And she was hysterical. And she said she went to this reader, and the reader told her that, you know, she was going to lose this child, or if the child was born, it would have severe problems. Who would do this? So I immediately saw pink and white and little booties. And I told her, I said, this baby is going to be fine, and it's going to be a little girl. And this is before, you know, she had just found out she was pregnant. And she was, you know, the little girl looks just like her mommy. She is just like a little mini me. But yeah, children, you have to be really careful with, and that whole issue.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, I agree.
100%. 100%. So I think we'll close it out here. Do you ladies have any parting comments? Anything you want to say before we head out?
Just one thing. We've got a book out on Amazon. It's called Three Appalachian Witches, if anyone is interested. And also, if folks come and see us at our next event, which I know we're going to be at the Trivet Paracon soon, then, you know, we have these nifty little mini posters that we will sign for you if we have time.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Very nice.
Ashley, any parting words?
Yes. Thank you guys so much for having us on. And we love you bunches. Hope we get to come back soon.
Yes.
And Misty will be on here as well. And it's always a delight. And
yes. I love you. I'm like sad to see you leave because I don't know when I'm going to see you next. But I love you. And tell Misty, we missed her. And hello. And thank you ladies for coming on. And really appreciate you. And everything you do is amazing. And I think you're wonderful. And I hope to see you all soon.
Gosh,
thank you, Pat.
Thank you for having me.
100%. Thank you, ladies.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.